to Animal Companions. This is Joyce, your Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster, welcoming you to this edition of Animal Companions, where we read about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Today I'll be reading Tales of Al, the Water Rescue Dog, The Making of a Super Athlete by Lynn Cox, and if we have some time, I'll be reading some articles and newsletters from some magazines about the animals in our lives. Our first reading today is Tales of Al by Lynn Cox. In the last chapter, we learned that Donatella and Al were on their way to Genoa for Al's test to become a water rescue dog. Donatella was very nervous about the testing, and Al was able to feel her anxiety. Chapter 21, Semper Paratus Backstroke. We all began somewhere, and for Al, this was her beginning. Whether she would succeed or fail was up to her. Marco, the captain of the patrol boat, and a crewman gave us permission to come on board. He informed us that they were on patrol. They would be sailing through Genoa's harbor and along the coastline to make sure that the boats and ships were operating safely and legally. That was their first priority. They'd been ordered by the admiral to conduct the canine lifeguard rescue drill at a designated spot south of Genoa. The crewman pushed the patrol boat off the dock, and suddenly I felt like we were on another grand adventure. It was a feeling of freedom, of riding the water. There was something magical about being able to float. It was unlike anything else in the world. Yellow-legged gulls making laughing calls and mew gulls making high, sharp squeaks circled overhead. Quickly, the men got underway. Although this was Al's first time on the board of Guardia Costiera's boat, she looked relaxed as if she'd been doing this all of her life. Marco glanced at Al. He was not sure about having a dog on board. He had never worked with water rescue dogs. As Marco steered the boat through the harbor, past piers and docks, he and his crewmen checked the area where the merchant vessels, cruise ships, and yachts were docked. Everything around us was in motion. Workers were operating enormous cranes, unloading cargo. Trucks were picking up crates of food. Tourists and fishermen were everywhere. "It is such an honor to be out on a boat with you, and what you do is tremendously important," I said. Marco nodded seriously and said that it helps to have more eyes on the water. He said that not everyone splashes their arms up and down to signal that they are drowning. They may be silently drowning, a term coined by a man in the U.S. Coast Guard. Marco explained that silent drowning happens when people's mouths are at or below the water's surface. They cannot shout for help. Their arms are struggling to reach the water so that they can wave for help. They are fighting for their lives. Even those who are supervising people in the water may not recognize many of the sounds of distress. The Guardia Costiera has learned to look for specific signs, including a swimmer with their head low in the water, their head tilted back, glassy eyes or hair covering their face. The swimmers may be gasping or hyperventilating. They may be trying to swim but are not able to move forward. I said that I had friends who were lifeguards, and one of their greatest challenges was to notice when someone suddenly slipped underwater. A child or an adult could be knee-deep in the water, and suddenly the bottom drops, and they go under in an instant. They may drown in only 30 seconds. That's why lifeguards constantly scan the water, but parents need to always be watching their children when they are near or in the water. And the people need to watch one another. At the beach, a wave can hit a child or an adult, knocking them instantly underwater. And if they can't swim, someone else needs to have that happen and signal a lifeguard for help. The colors of Genoa's skyline, terracotta, orange, stone, gold, peach, and yellow, glowed in the morning light and reflected on peaceful sapphire blue waters. The warmth exuded by the colors gave me the feeling that they were surrounded by a perpetual sunrise. The shape of the harbor created a natural amphitheater, and the sounds of cranes moving cargo, shouts of men, rumbles of engines, putter of small motors, clang of clips against the masts, rush of water breaking against the boat, bows, and the hum of conversation played like a symphony of the sea. I loved being there. We sailed past ferries with people standing on deck. Some acknowledged the Guardia Costiera and waved. The men responded with a nod, but when people saw Al, they pointed at her, speaking excitedly in Italian and other languages. They saw that the Newfoundland was wearing her red rescue harness, that she was on board a Guardia Costiera patrol boat, and they recognized her as a water rescue dog. They applauded and cheered her. Al loved the attention and turned her head and watched four people passing on ships and boats. She looked intently through portholes and windows and made eye contact with passengers on the deck. When Marco glanced at Al, he smiled. He said his job was often intense and serious. He had to enforce the laws of navigation along the Italian coast and at sea. He made sure that the yachts, fishing boats, and merchant vessels were all being operated safely. Sometimes people came angry and unpredictable. There were times he had to rescue people in danger and put himself at risk. He was aware of all the boat traffic going in and out of the port of Genoa, and he was listening to the radio for updates for the Guardia Costiera base. He noticed a yacht sailing near the harbor wall and told us to hold on. Marco rapidly changed course and skillfully intercepted the yacht. He told us to move toward the stern, explaining that the yacht's captain was sailing in a restricted area that was only to be used by ferry boats. The yacht captain had created a dangerous situation. Ferry boats held specific courses and speed, and a ship as large as a ferry could not stop quickly so the ship's captain might not see a yacht and run over it. The crewman asked the yacht's captain for his papers to make sure he was licensed. He explained the situation and issued a citation. The yacht captain disagreed and angrily signed the ticket, but just before he turned away, he noticed Al and asked if she was one of the canine lifeguards. Marco said yes, and the man's anger dissipated, and he almost smiled. When we pulled away from the yacht, Donatella told Marco that one of her friends was a ferry boat captain. He was an instructor at the school and had a canine lifeguard, a Newfoundland, that trained at the school and with the Guardia. He also had a Labrador who was working and who was on the job. The lab's job was to sniff cargo and search for drugs and stowaways, and he did a job very well. Marco agreed that in some situations dogs were helpful to have on board, but he was still skeptical of Al. Al and Donatella returned to the bow of the boat, and the crew continued patrolling south along the Italian Riviera through the Ligurian Sea's light sapphire blue waters. We were sailing about 800 meters offshore, so the crew could see the boats operating in the coves and along the shoreline and farther out to sea. The ride in the large patrol boat was small, and the captain and crewman kept us moving at an efficient rate of 8 to 10 knots. The ocean was clear with visibility of 3 to 4 meters, and so calm it mirrored a vibrant blue sky. We slid past pastel-colored hotels and buildings built on cliffs and rock slabs. Donatella was agitated and biting her lip. Her nervousness was increasing. She was waiting to take on one of her life's most important challenges. Sitting near the bow, she kept looking at the water and glancing apprehensively at Al. She was focused and quiet. Bob said a few words to her in a steady voice. I think he was trying to reassure her that everything was going to be okay. She responded in clipped sentences. Al was sitting regally beside her. Maybe Donatella had forgotten Al's pedigree. Maybe she didn't realize Al had greatness within her. Through Al's veins flowed the DNA of brave dogs that sailed across the stormy Atlantic with John Cabot, the great Italian and English adventurer who explored Labrador and the coast of North America. In Al's DNA were genes from dogs that dragged ashore bulging nets filled with cod in the frigid waters near Grand Banks for Spanish, French, and Portuguese fishermen. Pumping through Al's heart was the same trait of calmness, courage, and strength that Lord Byron admired in Boatswain, his beloved Newfoundland. In Al's spirit were the same characteristics of seamen, the courageous Newfoundland that protected Lewis and Clark and their corps of discovery. Al had all of those qualities and all of this potential. The wind was puffing up Al's long brown coat and blowing the fur away from her face. She was watching the water, turning, studying the shore. Al's eyes shone with intensity. We passed many small coves and sandy beaches where people were swimming, floating on inflatable rafts, diving off ski boats and small wooden boats, and having fun in the water. Marco continued driving the boat south of the coastline, and it would be becoming rockier. Elegant hotels built on the cement pilings hugged the cliff walls. We sailed through the waters of Camogli, the Gulf of Paradise. Pastel-painted Baroque buildings wrapped around the shoreline and were terraced above a small harbor where traditional small white and blue and white and green wooden fishing boats were moored. The water offshore was crystalline, blue and green. Beyond the protection of the cove, the wind was steadily increasing and the water was becoming choppy. Donatella spoke with Marco, and they agreed that they could not wait any longer. They planned to go farther down the coast, but they did not have the time. If they waited, the wind would be too strong to do the test. Donatella suggested that they find a beach where a lot of people were in the water. The crowd would make it more difficult for Al to locate a person in distress, more like a real-life situation, more challenging. Al had been working with instructors at the school and had been able to tell when one of the members of the school was in trouble, and she had been able to rescue them. This test was different, and it was extremely important. This would be the first time Al would be required to rescue a stranger. It made sense that Donatella was nervous. The Guardia Costiera were watching her. They were complete professionals. If Al failed, it would reflect on Donatella as an instructor and vice president of the school. It would be a disaster. When the patrol boat reached the next swimming beach, Donatella could swim to shore and ask a volunteer to be a victim. The volunteer would swim out 100 meters and lift his or her arm to signal that he or she was in distress. Al would have to recognize the situation on her own. She would have to jump into the water and swim to the victim. Al needed to pass. If she failed, it would be many more months of training, maybe even a year, before the Guardia Costiera would invite her to attempt the test again. Soon the patrol boat reached a sandy beach between Camogli and Portofino. Donatella spoke quickly to Bob, handing him Al's leash. She suddenly was eager to see how Al would perform. 2 years of hard work and intense training came down to this day. Donatella took off her windbreaker, slipped off her shoes and pants, and waited for Marco to get closer to the shore. She jumped into the water and swam to the beach. Al whined and yanked on the leash and tried to follow her, but Bob restrained her, insisting that she sit. She continued to whine. Donatella disappeared into the crowd on the beach. After a few minutes, she found a woman who would easily swim 200 meters, who volunteered to be the victim. Donatella swam back to the boat and climbed on the board. She played with Al to distract her while the woman swam out to the sea. The woman started lifting her arms and dropping them on the water. Al immediately saw her and started barking loudly. She was relentless, signaling to Donatella that someone needed to be rescued. Al jumped into the water, followed by Donatella. They sprinted 300 meters to the victim. Al circled around the distressed swimmer, presented the harness so she could grab the handle. Al waited until the woman grabbed the handle and held on. Then Al swam toward the shore, pulling the woman with Donatella beside her. Donatella asked the woman to let go of the handle. Al immediately felt the resistance change. She rapidly circled the woman and again presented the handle. Al was performing just as she had been trained. The volunteer held on, and Al pulled her and Donatella to the beach. When Al was knee-deep in the water, she did exactly what Maz had taught her. She waited for the woman to stand and escorted her all the way onto the sand. People on the beach stood up and applauded Al. Donatella was thrilled. After all that effort, Al had passed the test. She had earned her water rescue dog certification. People were gathering around them, saying Al's name, petting her, hugging her, and giving her a hero's welcome. Al had done it. When Al and Donatella returned to the patrol boat, Donatella was laughing and smiling for the first time that day. She hugged and kissed Al. Bob was thrilled for her. Marco, his crewman, and I were amazed. Al had done everything perfectly. She was always prepared, semper paratus, and she was never afraid. Marco and his crewmen congratulated Al and Donatella, who was relieved. Finally, Al had reached the goal Donatella always hoped she would receive. While being disappointed at times, she'd never given up on Al. Donatella asked if it would be okay for me to get into the water. She knew I was eager to cool off and to experience the salt water from Genoa for the first time. Marco said the Admiral had already given permission for me to do that. Donatella thought it would be good to give Al another opportunity to rescue someone she barely knew. She asked if I minded posing as a victim. I was thrilled at the chance to participate. When Marco gave me clearance, I jumped into the water and started swimming backstroke. I was planning to swim 100 meters from the boat and then lift my arms to signal Al that I needed help. I took 3 strokes and Al started barking. I continued swimming backstroke. She would not stop barking. Donatella gave her permission to jump into the water. She jumped in and swam in a circle around me. Donatella yelled at me to stop and dove in and raced to me. "It's your backstroke," she exclaimed. "What?" I asked. "Your backstroke. Al sees you. You are lifting your arms." She suddenly realized something, and she was so excited. "Now I know," she said. "Al saw you lifting your arms when you were doing backstroke. Yesterday she saw that too. Al thought you were giving her a distress signal," she said, and her eyes opened wider. The dragonfly, it was lifting its wings. The duck, they were lifting their wings. Al saw things no other dog saw. She is a different dog. They were signals to her. They were distress signals. That's why she chased them. That's what she was trained to do. She wanted to rescue them. Al wanted to rescue them all, she repeated, and she realized that Al was an exceptionally good dog. Al saw her joy. She felt it. She smelled it. Donatella had always had a place in Al's heart. Now Al had finally found a place in hers. I swam to Guardia Costiera. Al swam to Donatella, choosing her above all else. "Brava, brava, Al," Donatella said with elation. A hot breeze stirred the azure blue waters as we rowed through 1-meter waves back to Genoa, past the lighthouse and into the sheltered harbor. Marco pulled the boat along the dock and shook Donatella's hand again. He congratulated her. He petted Al and told her she was a great dog. He told Donatella he looked forward to working together with them again soon. Mario radioed the base commander to let them know that the mission had been completed and that it had been successful, and he was ready to return to base. Admiral Angrisano invited us to have celebratory lunches at the base with Marco and more of his crew. The admiral planned to drop by when we were finished. The good news spread. When we walked through the security gate on base, men and women in Guardia Costiera uniforms came over to congratulate Donatella and Al. They appreciated the training Donatella and Al had done, the skill the Newfoundland had developed, and the dedication required to have passed that test. We ate a lunch of spaghetti with bolognese sauce, and Donatella gave Al some special treats she'd carried with her in case she passed the test. Somehow Al knew the treats were for a job well done. Eating them quickly, she sat beside Donatella, watching her with golden eyes and hoping for more. Admiral Angrisano arrived and shook Donatella's hand to congratulate her and rubbed the Newfoundland behind the ears and congratulated her for reaching the rank of a water rescue dog with Guardia Costiera. Elated, Al thumped her tail against the floor. Accompanying the admiral was the wife of a ship captain. The woman turned to Donatella and said that she and her husband had a 2-year-old Spinone Italiano. And I asked Donatella what that was, and she said that the Spinone was an ancient dog breed for hunting. The woman's dog was waiting for her in the car. She asked if we would like to see it. We walked outside with her, and she opened the passenger side and grabbed her dog's leash. The dog leapt out, wagging his tail. The Spinone was a medium-sized dog, muscular and strong with endurance. His owner said he was loyal, friendly, alert, and sweet, good with people and other dogs, and he needed a lot of exercise. The Spinone came to me. He had a sweet, expressive face, framed by shaggy eyebrows and a tufted mustache. His beard and coat were a beautiful orange roan, like the splatter marks in a Jackson Pollock painting. The dog let me pet him. His coat was short, close-lying, and wiry. Al moved between the Spinone and me to make sure she got her share of affection. The captain's wife asked Donatella if her dog could attend the water rescue school. Donatella said it was possible. Spinones have webbed paws and are good swimmers. The woman said her dog was a good swimmer, and she wanted to train him to be a lifeguard dog just like Al. Chapter 22, Victory Lap Gelato. We left the Guardia Costiera building and walked back toward Donatella's car. Somehow, people in Genoa knew that something special had happened to Al. Maybe it was the way she was sauntering beside Donatella and her head and tail held high. Maybe they felt her exuberant energy and saw a light of happiness shining in her golden eyes. Maybe they saw the way Donatella was confidently walking beside her. Whatever it was, people throughout the city were stopping and shouting, and Donatella and Al were happier than all. When one man asked if Al was a water rescue dog, Donatella said proudly, "Sì, lo è," meaning, "Yes, she is." It was something she'd wanted to say for most of Al's life, and now she had achieved that status. But more than that, she realized that Al was a different dog, different from all the others she had ever raised or known. She was far more sensitive than Donatella ever realized and noticed things no other dog saw. Others had considered Al a failure, but now Donatella knew that they'd been wrong. Al's future was not a failure. She was different, and she was special, and Donatella realized that she had succeeded, too. A deep sense of happiness radiated through her body. She glowed with pride, and it seemed to be growing as she began to realize how far they had come. It had taken a lot of courage to put herself out there with Al and know that they would be criticized, but they had moved beyond that, and now there were new things to dream about and to do. But for right now, it was time to celebrate. A young girl wearing a bright cotton dress and eating strawberry gelato waved at Al with her free hand. Her mom asked if it was okay if her daughter petted the Tetranova hero dog. Donatella told Al to sit, and she immediately obeyed. She towered above the little girl and looked longingly at her ice cream cone. The little girl's mother warned her to hold her gelato aside so Al would not take a bite. The Newfoundland managed to swivel around her and lap the gelato off her face. She wagged her tail quickly when the little girl burst into laughter. Her mother let Al lick her again. The girl finished the gelato on top and shared the cone on the bottom with the dog. She continued walking toward the Guardia Costiera, and Al's head turned when a door opened and she smelled the special Genoa dish of pesto made of crushed garlic, basil, olive oil, pine nuts, all with Parmesan cheese. The chef stepped out of his door to applaud Al, the water rescue dog. She was delighted with attention. She loved to be loved, and Donatella loved seeing her being praised. The old woman whom Al had met earlier that morning said she knew Al was a real champion and had proven it. "Brava, brava, Al," she exclaimed and hugged her tightly. Donatella was still processing what had happened during that day. Her throat tightened and she sounded choked up with emotion. "I've gone on patrols with the Guardia Costiera at least 20 times. Today was the first time the crew called me by my name. Today was the first time they recognized me. Today was the day Al became a new member of the Guardia Costiera Water Rescue Dog Team." Her eyes filled with very happy tears. It had taken so much time, so much effort, and so much understanding to reach what had seemed like an unattainable goal. But they never gave up. She never gave up on Al, and Al never gave up on her. They were a winning team. Al's eyes seemed to glow with love. She licked Donatella across the face. "Al, sei un campione. Al, you are a champion," she said, and hugged her tightly. Al understood her and looked into her eyes, thumped her tail hard against Donatella's leg, and leaned affectionately against her. She snuggled Al and smiled. They had won. Soon they would begin training to do water rescues from helicopters. There was still so much to do. Afterward, when I last saw Al, she was 2 years old. She's now 11 and living a great life with Donatella. Al earned her official water rescue dog certification from the Scuola Italiana Cana Salvataggio, in the Italian School of Rescue Dogs. Al and Donatella are patrolling the beaches in the Liguria region and on Lombardia lakes in northern Italy. They are sailing with the Guardia Costiera naval units, performing rescue exercises, patrolling Italian waters, and helping the Guardia Costiera make them safe. Al loves training and lifeguarding with them. She's eager and excited to perform tasks with the Guardia and loves having her on board. Al also loves visiting children in hospitals in Milan. She is so gentle with them. Al earned her rescue dog wings. She's performing helicopter rescue exercises with the search and rescue groups of the Italian Air Force, the Guardia di Finanza, and Civil Protection. Al has always loved to fly. Donatella said that when she was 3 months old, she arrived from Brussels and was with Donatella and Ferruccio when she saw her first helicopter. Her first flight in one was one when she was 5 months old, and she was as calm and serene and curious as could be. They flew over green meadows filled with wildflowers and did many maneuvers with the helicopter door wide open. Al sat there enjoying the wind in her face and the fantastic view. Since her first flight, she has had a passion for helicopters. For her, the helicopter cabin is like a home. Donatella shares her passion. When they see a helicopter flying overhead, they both track it and hope it will land and carry them into the sky so that they can watch over the people below. And that's the story of Al, the water rescue dog, the making of a super athlete by Lynn Cox. Well, I hope you enjoyed the story, and I'll be reading another story to you next time on Animal Companions. Until then, this is Joyce for Animal Companions and Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Be well, everyone. Stay healthy. Be happy. Bye-bye.